This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This recording is by Mark Smith of Simpsonville, South Carolina. Uncle Remus by Joel Chandler Harris. Chapter 7. Mr. Fox is again victimized. When Miss Sally's little boy went to Uncle Remus the next night to hear the conclusion of the adventure in which the rabbit made a riding horse of the fox, to the great enjoyment and gratification of Miss Meadows and the girls, he found the old man in a bad humor. "I ain't telling no tales to bad chillens," says Uncle Remus curtly. "But Uncle Remus, I ain't bad," said the little boy plaintively. "Who dat chunkin' dem chickens dis mornin'? Who dat knockin' out folks' eyes wid dat yellowbammer sling jes' for dinner? Who dat sickin' dat pinter puppy atter my pig? Who dat scatterin' my ingun sets? And who dat flingin' rocks on top of my house, which a little mowin' one of 'em could a dropped spang on my head?" "Well, now, Uncle Remus, I didn't go to do it. I won't do so any more. Please, Uncle Remus, if you will tell me, I'll run to the house and bring you some tea cakes."
"Seein' 'em's better'n hearin' tell of 'em," replied the old man, the severity of his countenance relaxing somewhat. But the little boy darted out, and in a few minutes came running back with his pockets full and his hands full.
"I lay yo' mammy'll s'picion that the rat's stomachs is widenin' dis neighborhood when she come fur to count up her cakes," said Uncle Remus with a chuckle. "Dese," he continued, dividing the cakes into two equal parts, "dese I'll tackle now, and dese I'll lay by for Sunday. Let me see. I most dismember whereabouts Brer Fox and Brer Rabbit was.
The rabbit rode the fox to Miss Meadows's and hitched him to the horse rack," said the little boy.
"Why, course he did," said Uncle Remus. "Course he did. Well, Brer Rabbit rid Brer Fox up, he did, and tied him to the rack, and then sought out in de piazza with the gals a-smokin' her a cigar with more proudness than what you most ever see. They talk, and they sing, and they play on de pianner, the gals did, till by and by it come time for Brer Rabbit fur to be gwine, and he tell 'em all good-bye, and strut out to the hoss rack, same as if he was the king of de patrollers, and then he mount Brer Fox and ride off. Brer Fox ain't saying nothing at all. He just rack off, he did, and keep his mouth shut. And Brer Rabbit knowed there was business cookin' up for him, and he feel monstrous skittish. Brer Fox amble on till he get into Long Lane, outer side of Miss Meadows' house, and then he turn loose, he did. He rip and he roar, and he cuss and he swore. He snort and he cavort."
"What was he doing that for, Uncle Remus?" the little boy inquired.
"He was trying fur to fling Brer Rabbit off on his back, bless your soul. But he just might as well as wrestle with his own shadder. Every time he hump hisself, Brer Rabbit slapped the spurs in him, and dar they had it up and down. Brer Fox fairly tore up at the ground, he did. And he jumped so high, and he jumped so quick, that he mighty nigh snatch his own tail off. They keep on gwine on this way till by and by Brer Fox lay down and roll over, he did, and this sort of unsettled Brer Rabbit. But by the time Brer Fox got back on his footses again, Brer Rabbit was gwine through the underbrush mo' samer than a racehorse. Brer Fox, he lit out after him, he did, and he pushed Brer Rabbit so close that it was about all he could do fur to get in a holler tree. Hole's too little for Brer Fox fur to get in, and he had her lay down and rest and get her his mind together. While he was lying there, Mr. Buzzard came flopping along, and seeing Brer Fox stretch out on the ground,
he lit and viewed the premises. Then Mr. Buzzard sort of shake his wing, put his head on one side, and say to himself like, says he,
"Brer Fox is dead, and I'm so sorry," says he.
"No, I ain't dead neither," said Brer Fox, says he. "I got Old Man Rabbit pent up in here," says he, "and I'm a-gwine ter get him this time if it takes 12 Christmases," says he. Then, after some more palaver, Brer Fox make a bargain that Mr. Buzzard was to watch the hole and keep Brer Rabbit dar whiles Brer Fox went after his axe. Then Brer Fox, he lope off, he did, and Mr. Buzzard, he tuck up his stand at the hole. By and by, when all gets still, Brer Rabbit sort of scramble down close to the hole, he did, and holler out, "Brer Fox! Oh, Brer Fox!" Brer Fox done gone, and nobody say nothing. Then Brer Rabbit squall out like he was mad, says he. "You needn't talk less you water," says he. "I knows you're dar, and I ain't keerin'," says he. "I just wanter tell you that I wish mighty bad Brer Turkey Buzzard was here," says he. Then Mr. Buzzard try to talk like Brer Fox. "What you want with Mr. Buzzard?" says he. "Oh, nothing in tickler, except there's the fattest gray squirrel in here that I ever see," says he. "And if Brer Turkey Buzzard was around, he'd be mighty glad for to get him," says he. "How's Mr. Buzzard going to get him?" says Buzzard, says he. "Well, dar's a little hole round on the other side of this tree," says Brer Rabbit, says he. "And if Brer Turkey Buzzard was here so we could take up a stand dar," says he, "I'd drive that squirrel out," says he. "Drive him out then," says Mr. Buzzard, says he. "And I'll see that Brer Turkey Buzzard gets him," says he. Then Brer Rabbit, he kick up a racket like he was driving something out. And Mr. Buzzard, he rush round fur to catch the squirrel. And Brer Rabbit, he dash out, he did, and then he just fly for home. At this point, Uncle Remus took one of the tea cakes, held his head back, opened his mouth, dropped the cake in with a sudden motion, looked at the little boy with an expression of astonishment, and then closed his eyes and began to chew, mumbling as an accompaniment the plaintive tune of "Don't You Grieve After Me." The seance was over, but before the little boy went into the big house, Uncle Remus laid his rough hand tenderly on the child's shoulder and remarked in a confidential tone, "Honey, you must get up soon Christmas morning and open the door, 'cause I want to bounce in on Marse John and Miss Sally and holler, 'Christmas gift!' just like I used to during the farming days fo' the war when old Miss was alive. I bound they don't forget this old nigger, neither. When you hear me calling the pigs, honey, you just hop up and unfasten the door. I give Marse John one of these year's surprise parties." End of chapter.